Welcome to D&D Journey of the 5th Edition. Join us in our campaign and shenanigans as we explore the subterranean labyrinths, plunder hordes of treasure, battle legendary monsters. This podcast will be following our gaming group and the adventures of these characters, as well as a few guests from time to time. Join us as we start a new campaign and our journey to experience the best, and maybe the worst, in the 5th edition of Dungeons & Dragons.
Hi, this is Jim with D&D Journey of the 5th Edition Questions and Answers Session.
Part 1.
With me is...
Kelly.
And Carrie.
Unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, dragons have driven off most of our group, so we're going to be doing a two-parter. First part is going to be with just the three of us going through some questions that we received from all of you guys, and thank you everyone for your questions.
Yes, thank you. This is actually pretty exciting.
We're going to go ahead and start with our out-of-character questions. We made a random sheet of questions, so we're going to roll the dice and see who gets what questions. And then we're going to switch to our in-character questions to give you some insight into the characters themselves.
Yeah, for those characters who are actually here, not at some birthday party or, well, but I digress.
So I'm going to go ahead and roll for the first question. I got an 8.
8, okay, that is page 2.
Yep. Okay. So the question we received was, thus far, without horrible spoilers, what is your favorite moment in the game? As individuals or as a group?
Okay, well, I know what mine is. Okay, Carrie. And also, just so you know, if my voice and Carrie's voice and Kelly's voice sound alike, it's because we're identical twins.
So
even sometimes when we listen to the podcast, we have trouble understanding, like, did I say that or did you say that? I just don't remember. Unless, of course, I'm being my character, Galen. So then, you know, once we're a character, then it's easier. But on our other podcast, I have trouble. But anyways, so for my favorite parts of the game so far, you know, is, let's face it, the botching. How many times in a game can you say that was your best favorite part?
Yeah, except for
it was too funny. Of course, I didn't botch.
Yeah, that's the only reason why you liked it. You're not the one that almost died.
It was so funny.
Okay, actually.
He scrapes against the, and he's just, you know, and then you're okay. Kicking your short
sword. Okay, yeah, the double ones, I will have to say, this is Kelly, that I concur partially, because my favorite part of the game so far was that Xander was teasing me for having rolled double ones,
yes,
snake
yes.
eyes, and then not, you know, just yes. next time he rolled double ones. Oh yes, dice karma.
That was funny.
That was just epically hilarious.
Yeah, I tend to agree, Jim.
This is Jim. I have to agree. The watching Kelly roll two 20s coming up 1 and 1, Xander laughing and making a nice little joke on her, and then he gets the dice karma right back of double ones. I mean,
it was too funny. I
swore
what
if another person rolled two 20s and they both came up ones,
but
the
next
roll would have ended right then and there.
Yeah.
My next roll was a 1.
Yeah, so technically, Kelly, you rolled 3 ones. Yeah, it's like, but you know, but then we did have a lot of natural 20s, but you know, no double 20s. Ooh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would.
But that's my favorite part.
Yeah, how could you?
Yeah, but you didn't die. It's like,
no thanks.
Go for a walk.
No thanks to you.
I'm feeling much better. No, we stoned dead in a moment.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on to the next question.
Okay, my turn to roll. Okay, Kelly is rolling now. And I have rolled a 3. Okay, the question is, you all seem incredibly comfortable with each other, which helps make the podcast a joy. Oh,
thank you.
How long have you been gaming together? Okay, in terms of the group, Jim is actually my husband, and actually when we started...
That's Kelly speaking, by the way.
The funny thing is, of course, we started gaming early on into our relationship. As a matter of fact, that's how we started kindness. Because the other was... I kind of rigged it so that I joined his D&D Pathfinder game.
She seduced me through gaming.
Yeah. I was like, are you kidding? Hello, a guy that, you know, my ex did not game. So and then I dragged my sister and her husband into it.
And I knew, twist my arm. Twist my arm.
We used to do it when we were in high school, so finding a guy who not only likes to paper game, but also World of Warcraft, you know, online RPGs, was a huge find. But we were super fortunate that when we started gaming more, my husband was such a good GM.
Jim is the best GM ever. I mean, Gary's really good.
Oh, Gary's awesome.
But, you know, Jim, gotta say, you've just made it awesome.
So, thank you. Well, Jim was on a board at, players to meet players and,
Meetup.com.
Yeah, meetup.com.
Okay.
For RPG gamers and stuff. And that's how we met Gary and Xander, who are fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, funny. Random meet. We all agreed to play a Scion
game.
And we meet them, and that was about, 3 years ago?
3 years ago.
And it was awesome. We meshed.
And we totally clicked.
And it was great because, Xander's, preteen, and my son, we're just introducing, this is Carrie, by the way, we're introducing to gaming, he's a preteen, and, of course, Xander's now a teenager, though.
Yeah,
So it was great having the two young people there. But Xander is an experienced gamer.
Oh, he's been gaming since he was very
Whereas my son is still quite new, and he's actually in our Ragnarok podcast. My son.
Yeah.
So, but we're basically a family and friends who game together.
And we even have our geriatric mother playing.
Yeah, our mother.
She gets a kick out of it.
But then she plays the Scion in the Scion podcast and stuff. So, but that's why we're so comfortable together, I think.
And Jocelyn. Oh,
and Jocelyn, in fact, she wrote in some answers. I don't know if we want to read those, but she is part of our steampunk group. And so,
first time actually gaming with her, but. We do we're part of the Tucson Steampunk Society together, and so we do stuff outside of and we have such a good time with her when we're out and about, and obviously it's working really well for the gaming, so she's fantastic. So it totally works. But
In fact, here's what Jocelyn wrote, and she wanted to be here. But and she says, I'm brand new to this group, and I have gotten to know Jim, Carrie, and Kelly through the local steampunk community of the last several years, and it was an easy transition from our steampunk antics to our gaming antics. In fact, I would have to say Lady Corlin is very much like her steampunk character. But so that's how we know Jocelyn, and we knew she was a gamer. So this was just made the best of both worlds.
This is Jim. In fact, I actually played with Jocelyn at a con that a bunch of friends of us got together to have, the Conrad Con. And I played in her Firefly steampunk-esque game, and it was a blast.
Yeah.
She was a great storyteller for that game.
Yeah,
great for the storyteller.
Okay,
Carrie,
now
it's my turn to roll. Let's see what question we get. Big bucks. Whammy 4. This question is, do you regret not having used a pun on the fifth for your name, like pleading the fifth, how about a fifth, and many other endless options in the name of your podcast? And, honestly, sometimes I can be a little clueless. It comes as a big surprise to you guys, right?
Like I was going to deny that.
So actually, and normally we love puns.
Oh, Carrie and I are huge puns.
Carrie and I like
puns. We love punishment.
Yes, and I just totally spaced. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, but now I'm like, oh yeah, that would have been so cool.
That's like, darn.
Yeah, honestly, when I came up with the D&D Journey, the 5th edition, it was like 3 in the morning. Not sleeping, was needing to go to bed soon for work, and I pretty much just came up with it as it's D&D, it's a journey, we're starting the 5th edition just to try it out and see how we like it, and to hopefully let some folks at home who can't get into gaming groups know of just how much fun it can be, and if there's good things or bad things, what comes up and what doesn't come up.
Yeah, because I mean, for the Ragnarok and roll,
we
put a little bit of a twist on that one.
That's
another podcast we do is Ragnarok and Roll. It's a Scion from White Wolf game. It's a really fun podcast.
Yeah, that one's a lot of fun. That was my first podcast.
Okay, my turn.
All right,
Jim's turn
to roll. And I roll a 9. Here's a really good game mechanic question we got. The question is, in 4th edition D&D, there were healing surges players could use. In 5th edition, is it the same or do they use something different? That's actually a really important one. In 4th edition, healing surges were great because they kind of kept folks from taking too many healing potions or too many heals during the day. But as a GM who played that one, I mean, who ran that one as well as played it a little bit in that one, it let characters heal a ton. It would take days for GMs to beat something down if they wanted to weaken you.
Saved my life a number of times, let me tell you.
In the 5th edition, they've actually changed it. So on page 186 of the New Player's Handbook, they've got it during a short rest, which is an hour or more, you can spend one of your hit dice. It goes back to almost like back in AD&D and through 3rd edition where you had hit dice, where if you're a level 1 creature who has 1d8 hit dice, you could then take a rest, roll a 1d8, and you get back that plus your constitution modifier at the end of your 1 hour plus rest. One of the tricks with that one is, like, if you're first level, you get one hit dice. Your second level, you're still getting only half your level, which is 1d6, 1d8, 1d4, depending on which class you pick. After a long rest, you get back all of your hit points that have been lost and half of your hit dice back. So a group won't perpetually be able to get all of their hit dice back and hit points when they take a long rest, just hit points, and however many hit dice you get half of them back that you've used. And basically, it's a really great way of keeping people from healing way too much, in my opinion, but still getting a good amount of healing in between sessions so that way your group's not having to spend 2 weeks in-game mending your wounds outside the goblin camp before going back into an attack, which kind of kills the role-playing value of the adventure of, we camped 3 blocks from the goblin village and they left us alone, and then we run back in.
Yeah, and you always got to be careful of respawns.
Yeah, and yes, for you GMs at home, do not feel bad if the group decides to take a long rest and you're going to be a jerk and throw an encounter at them before the rest is over. It's just good storytelling.
Yeah, make them tell the story.
All right, and Kelly's got the next question.
All righty, let's see here. Oh, we already did 3, so
roll again.
Reroll.
5, okay. What role-playing systems do you prefer? I like lots of different ones. I started when I was a kid. We did D&D.
D&D, yeah.
So that was my first one. But since I met Jim, we did Gamma World. Old-fashioned Gamma World.
Yeah, old-fashioned Gamma World, yeah.
And we played Heroes and Villains when we were kids. But when I was older and I met Jim, we started playing other games. And I like... of course, we did the D&D, which was always fun.
Yeah.
I was adverse to trying 4 at first, but,
we had some great campaigns.
You've never played 4.
We played 3.5.
We had some good times.
The Company of Valor was
good. Good times. The Company of Valor. Yeah.
Good times.
That was a good long ringing game.
That was. But then we started playing Scion.
Oh yeah.
We loved Scion.
Okay. Yeah.
It was so much fun. And then we also tried Deadlands.
We tried Dresden too.
Dresden is interesting.
I had trouble getting into the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
And stuff, but we still had some really legendary moments. You know, what I did to Wrigley Field. Oh my god.
What I did to Mom's character.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
I think Scion is one of our favorites, and we very much enjoy
when Gary did Deadlands.
We had so much fun doing that one, and we're going to be taking that one up again.
Yeah,
I
do recommend
characters.
That one, but I really do like Scion. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really like how the mechanic. You know, once you get into it and learn it, it's actually not that difficult.
Yeah.
And
I wasn't so fond of
Vampire
the Masquerade.
Yeah, Vampire the Masquerade.
I mean, it was okay. I didn't quite get in, you know. I don't think we had quite. And also, it depends on the group, too, I think, because we had some
right,
people
actually,
weren't, you know,
who weren't
really
into it. You really
just didn't
want
to play. It's like, why are you
like,
if you don't want to play? You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
But,
why
and that so that that can, you know, taint it an experience for it. So then, not so
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, so we might
that
try
yet.
That again in the future.
Yeah, we may try it again. But,
but yeah,
I don't know.
Deadlands, awesome.
Deadlands was fun. Oh
yeah, that was fun.
But yeah, Scion has to be my favorite. I would have to say followed by D&D because of course it's classic. I love, you know, the whole adventure thing, you know.
We're purists at heart. No,
no.
Just kidding.
followed probably by Deadlands and stuff because of course there's that whole steampunk out west.
But
you know.
And like it's very the group is important.
Yes, the group.
You know, the group
makes,
dynamics because because that was really worked well. And we tied it in because
oh, the and Star Wars. I actually started playing Star Wars very recently. Played the intro one, and I'm liking. I still have to get more used to, you know, the mechanics and stuff. And even though I'm a huge, you know, Star Wars fan and stuff, I'm not as up on all the canon.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Included or not canon. I don't want to start that debate.
Extended universe.
Yeah, the extended
canon.
Use versus, you know, I don't want to get into that. But, you know, that I'm not as, you know, as abreast of the different, you know, the classes and, you know, and the races. I, you know, so.
And
I still have to.
This is Carrie. I still think of myself as a sort of beginner player. You know, I don't game as much as Kelly and Jim or Xander and Gary. And or Jocelyn, but I really, you know, I had to get used to the idea of the storytelling, and so sometimes I find the role playing hard. But the more you do it, the easier it gets,
and it depends on who you're
and the group
with.
You're with.
It depends on who you bounce ideas and thoughts off.
Yeah, and
we feed off each other.
We feed off each other, obviously.
That's Carrie and I, Jim.
That's just
what do you
us, actually?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim, what? I mean, you played far more.
Let me go ahead and honestly, I like 5th edition because just from what I've read through, because of course I'm reading way ahead of the group on the adventures and also Horde of the Dragon Queen, which will be the next one after we finish the starter set. I like 5th edition because it's a great mix of AD&D all the way through 4th edition. They took really good things like wizards and clerics never run out of powers as long as you have cantrips. You can at least do something.
Yeah,
rather than one, two, three, and now I'm out of spells and I can't do anything. So I'm really liking the new 5th edition. I'm a long, long, old-standing fan of the Palladium books.
And the cantrips.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Palladium books have some great games. Rifts was one of my favorite. Heroes Unlimited is one I always had fun with.
Yeah, we did play Rifts once, remember?
Yep.
That was okay.
Rifts really
okay.
Depends on the group dynamic and
yeah.
What the objective of the game is. But I honestly have to say the system that I love and adore right now is actually the Edge of Empire, Star Wars / Age of Rebellion, which and Age of Destiny, which will be the third book coming out soon, because it uses a narrative dice system, which means I GM a group on that, and even when I have a script storyline written out, the dice can derail the story in a second because you have one dice that comes up with triumph that you have to basically narrate and make up on the fly this epic great thing that just happened for your group that either wins the day or loses the day regardless of what the storyline was going, which can just cause total side stories to become an entirely different storyline. But it is one of those game systems that you really want to be able to come up with stuff on the fly, or you're really going to have to call breaks every 15, 20 minutes if a bad roll or a good roll comes up.
Bad roll.
Bad dice.
Bad shame dice.
Carrie, what did Jocelyn say?
Oh, and Jocelyn says, I generally play White Wolf games, and I love the storyteller system. I am massively fond of character development and improv, which White Wolf supports reasonably well with their system. And, you know, no, we couldn't tell that about her at all.
I have to do note, I am a good fan of White Wolf as well, which
yeah.
is why I always call myself storyteller
really, yes.
rather than GM or DM.
Yeah. I had to break the habit. It was DM forever. So now I'm GM.
Because a DM and a GM is someone who masters it, and you're really just running a story for your players. You're not mastering anything.
and if we do our job right, we change the story, and then he has to think on his feet.
Oh, yeah,
like our Ragnarok game.
Totally flummoxed him.
Which is honestly one of those things I got to say for GMs out there, or folks that are wanting to try being a GM, just roll with it. For the most part, don't be heart set on this or that. Have great ideas, great concepts. Do like R.A. Salvatore has even said in some of his books, he comes up with great locations and great fights and works the story around that. So that way, in case the players play with things and derail your story, because that's what players do. Hopefully you don't have someone intentionally doing that, because there's some people that enjoy doing that. But if a game is growing, it's just like writing a character for a story. Your characters and your stories are going to organically become whatever they're going to become. Even players lose control
yeah.
of their characters.
That's true. My first yeah. Scion character took on a completely...
This is Kelly talking, by the way.
Took on a life of her own. I mean, Jim always had us, and when we created our Scion characters, that when you get tapped by your divine parent or you have the first visitation, that basically infuses you with your... enhances your godly ichor so that you become a scion.
Right.
He always had us write our story.
And the better the story, we could get more experience points for stories later
so
on.
So we were all, hey, more points?
Like,
yeah,
okay. Story, sure.
But
more experience.
I actually found myself write her. She was writing her own stories.
Yeah, it went
outside.
Directions that we didn't
I'm
expect.
Like, yeah, she took on a life of her own. Oh, man, I love her. You know?
Oh,
she's
yeah.
awesome. But, okay, I digress. All right.
Okay,
and Carrie,
so next question.
Carrie's
next question.
Rolling another.
Okay.
We've already done eight.
Yep.
So let's roll again. We've already done
four.
Didn't we?
Yeah. Nine.
Okay, hold on.
12.
Okay. The question is, what do you think about the new inspiration system and the advantage and disadvantage? Now, my understanding is the inspiration system is the storytelling aspect of it, or
when
is it,
you,
or background
yeah, when you go ahead, yeah. go ahead and look at when your character sheet.
Yeah, I have my character sheet.
If you look at your character sheet, it's that little bubble that's on the right-hand side that has personality
traits,
ideals,
bonds,
and flaws.
I find it useful, actually, to determine your role-playing aspect, which can get you those extra dice.
Well, if you play to those items that's in that section,
your GM
you get a well,
point
we
of inspiration.
We like to use poker chips for to represent the thing, so that here I have one, I'm going to use it, and then you hand it back.
So you
it
don't
just
you
helps to
keep
track.
Track,
okay? Instead of just writing it down. And it's good because, yeah, I want that chip. I want to be able to say, hey, and so I'm going to play up to that. So, like, when I was talking about my aunt and how I want to go home, you know, it's like, my character loves her aunt, you know, and I don't want her to know, you know, bad things about me and stuff. So by playing to that, I was able to get the chip. And then if I want to use that chip for a role, like I did on that one instance, and it gives you the advantage. Okay, great. Advantage is I like advantage. Advantage and disadvantage is fun because, well, it's always fun rolling 20-sided die, but you get to roll 2 20-sided dies and take the better or the
even
worse.
Even if you get double ones.
Yeah. Okay, come on. Like you said, that was your favorite moment
it
of the game.
It was.
Think of the odds to roll double 20.
Well, I find it helps me expand on the role-playing part of it. You know, for someone who's new to role-playing or, and not to say that I'm, like, new. I'm not a newbie, per se, but sometimes I struggle to get into character. But it's easier with this group. I mean, with this group, we can play.
Plus,
I'm sorry, it's playtime.
You
get
bonuses
for doing it. Yeah, it's like, hey, if you want, I'm going to take an advantage if I can in order to possibly increase my dice or get double ones. shame. I mean, that in itself, I mean, that's fun, of course. So if it's just a little role-playing, I can do that.
And as a GM, I personally love the inspiration idea because I know in a lot of folks for 4th edition, a lot of online groups were complaining about not getting a lot of role playing. Honestly, I didn't notice a difference because it's one of those. It all depends on the group and, you know, are you forcing your players to role play? And if I force, I'm being a little heavy handed in the word there. But you know, are you role playing to them as much as you want them to role play back to you? Because you usually, if you're not role playing to the players, they won't role play back. If you're being
That's true.
If you're war gaming with them, they're gonna war game on the table. But if you're role-playing, they're going to be inspired to be goofy, be silly, use voices. You got to throw voices out there at the players just so you're creating the role-play environment of it's okay for us to play with these characters. I like inspiration because it gives them a reminder of I will get – if I role-play, R-O-L-E, you give me bonus to my role, R-O-L-L play.
Yeah.
Of basically, it's the constant argument of R-O-L-E players versus R-O-L-L players. If one, in this case, inspiration rewards the second with if they do the first.
Yeah.
And I love the way they work the advantage, disadvantage. Rather than you re-rolling your dice,
mm-hmm.
you're rolling 2d20 at the same time and you pick for advantage the better, disadvantage the worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those situations when you roll your dice, you can see a 20 and a 1 and you're disadvantaged. So, you know, you could have had a 20.
Like, Tilda got a 0, technically.
And damn
that negative 1.
And a big thing I'm hoping to see a lot of GMs do in different games is use not just the inspiration, but the advantage-disadvantage system, because I'm a GM, I can tell you, you heroes are on the ridge line overlooking the goblins in the gully beneath you. you have advantage with your bows. So you guys, since you're at a advantageous situation, you guys get to roll the 2d20s and get a mechanical reward for thinking smart, thinking outside the box, doing something that's just plain tactically smart, you know, without going for the metagaming angle of we're going to do all these things for bonuses. It's I'm just going to get the better of the two rolls.
It's more fluid than metagaming.
Yeah.
Like, that's because, you know, you have the rules, lawyers and stuff, and that's not as much fun.
You can't
have
fun with that.
Exactly. And when you're rolling more dice, you can never go wrong with that.
Yeah. Who doesn't like rolling dice?
I love dice. Okay, so Jocelyn writes, I'm really enjoying the new system. I'm not an old school D&D player with decades of experience, but I played 4th edition and I've dabbled in Pathfinder. Plus all of the cool gamer kids played 2nd edition. I've learned a great many tales about it. This system, though, supports more of what I love about gaming. Shared storytelling, individual character development, and improv. Plus great group play. I think the advantage-disadvantage mechanic really creates that support.
I agree. Well said, Jocelyn.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those 2nd edition veterans, THACO to you.
Okay,
so let's go ahead and roll another.
Well, how many of the out-of-character questions do we have left?
I just rolled a 6.
Oh, we didn't do that one.
We haven't done that one. See, first roll, I get something new. Do you, as an individual or group, listen to other podcasts? If so, which ones do you like?
Well, okay. I myself, this is Carrie, have never listened to any other podcasts. So I had only heard about them from Kelly and Jim, you know, and their responses to some of them have been quite colorful. So you two will have to answer this question.
Well, for me.
And Jocelyn, I think.
I hadn't listened to very many podcasts, but there were a few that I listened to that I'm like, you people are friends? Like, really? You guys game together? but I was surprised at some of the, you know, there's some ones that start, you know, pretty good and stuff. But, of course, the, Adventures Incorporated. Acquisitions Incorporated is very entertaining. Jim listens to far more than I do. But I have to say, some of them I'm really surprised. It's like, I mean, they almost come to fisticuffs. Like, you know, and some of them, like, the audio is just really bad. So I'm actually, Jim does a fantastic job of editing and doing that type of stuff.
Different question.
I would have to say, I mean, I haven't listened to very many. Jim is far more, but I've listened to a few.
This is Jim.
And she likes us better.
ever since Kelly and I bought each other iPhones for our first anniversary.
Yes, many years ago.
I've been listening to a ton and hours and hours and hours of podcasts. Usually in my free time, I listen to it when I'm doing other stuff.
First anniversary.
I've listened to a lot of really great gaming ones, real play gaming ones. And by the way, check out the Real Play Network. They put lots of real play gaming podcasts that you can listen to. Honestly, I love the old-fashioned radio drama stories.
Oh, yeah.
I used to get copies of those.
At the University of Arizona Library, I used to work in the media.
Awesome.
They had, like, radio programs.
And I
on
love the old
I
radio
listen
shows.
I would to those all the time.
Yeah.
The Shadow was one of the ones I grew up with as a kid that I loved listening to because I actually had the cassette tapes. Yes, kids, those funny things with the magnetic strips inside.
It's like, you're giving away our age. No.
But here's some of the top 5 podcasts I like to listen to. Most of them, by the way, are audio dramas, not role-playing game podcasts. The first one, and that's the top of my list, is We're Alive, a zombie story of survival. If you can listen to any podcast, listen to We're Alive. They just wrapped up at the end of July their entire series. And the ending was heart-wrenching. You love these characters. You hate these characters. It's about 4 years
Sounds
worth
like
of
like The Walking Dead.
It's it's about 4 years worth of a podcast, and they released once a month. I mean, there's hundreds of issues to listen to, and you'll love each one. The cast that actually does it in a university's actual sound lab, so their quality is amazing.
Oh, awesome.
And their special effects are fantastic.
Carrie's a zombie phobe, so I don't think she'll
be.
But in this one, their zombies aren't quite zombies.
Yeah,
they're kind of mutants. So it's
do really they still eat people and
every bit
stuff
of people.
Like that? Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, no zombies here. Zombie fear.
Okay.
Sorry, zombie fear.
The next one on my list is going to be Wormwood. which is a really good supernatural noir style story of a detective and his assistant.
Gary liked that one.
Gary actually turned me on to that one, that's a really good one. Then next is going to be, for the superhero folks out there, Secret World Chronicle. It's this really great podcast, and I think they're on the 7th book now for the podcast. It's a really great one. It starts out being modern-day superheroes in a world where superheroes are everyday common currents. But a mysterious opponent appears that's very... very Nazi-ish. And who doesn't like punching Nazis?
Hey, that was the best game we ever played in Scion was when we went back in time to the Battle of the Bulge. That was awesome.
That was so much fun.
We're on a tangent, but that was one of my favorite games.
Oh, it was epic.
In Scion.
It was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
That storyline was inspired.
We got to kill some Nazis.
Everybody likes hitting Nazis. My fourth one on my list is going to be Acquisitions Incorporated, especially for all you D&D fans out there. Epically fantastic stuff. If you don't listen to their podcast, at least YouTube their PAX games.
The PAX games are awesome.
And, of course, when Will Wheaton's on there, it's amazing. Dark magic. Yeah, if you get a chance, any of the Acquisitions Incorporated PAX shows are fantastic.
Especially the ones with Will Wheaton are
and
friggin' hilarious.
Chris, as a GM to a GM, Chris, you do a fantastic job GMing those games.
Amen. That was
dumb. And for my fifth and final choice for podcast, I'm going to make a shameless plug for our other podcast, which is our group that plays Scion at our home game, which is Ragnarok and Roll, a Scion hero to Ragnarok story, which is Scion White Wolf game.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is a really, really fun one.
It's
entertaining.
It's entertaining.
We go in directions that even the GM didn't expect.
That was my first real experience with podcasting. I gotta admit, it's weird because I'll be at work and I'll put my headphones in and I'm just listening.
Did I say that?
Oh my God, did I really say that?
I'm like, I can't believe I said that.
And I do apologize.
But you were thinking it!
And I do apologize on Ragnarok and Roll. As Kelly said, it's our first podcast, so it's basically where I started experimenting with a lot of editing and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a little rough in some spots.
But it's fun,
and it's actually filmed at our house, so it's sometimes you'll hear the ice machine, because we're cooking pasta.
Because when we're gaming on Sundays and we have the friends over, it's we either have pizza or we make a big, family meal dinner, and
usually it's the family game night.
Yeah. We make a day of it and have snacks and.
Yeah,
and make a big supper. And here's mom's answering her to her role, and it's and you're eating with potato. You're talking with potato chips in your mouth. It's good God.
Well, actually, because on the Scion Adventure one, we really don't even notice that the microphone's there. So we're like, oops.
Well, that's the beauty of it. Even with this podcast, and the one our Ragnarok and Roll one. We forget it's there for the most part. So this is, unfortunately, for better or for worse, this is us people. I don't know.
This is us every day.
Well, at least when we're together.
Yeah.
I'm a little more subdued in other areas.
Yeah, but you get
us. The Boy Scouts and But anyways, Jocelyn also writes I randomly listened to a few other over the years, but I haven't had any that I particularly followed. Yet, I am enjoying the experience so much on this end that I feel like I need to experience more of it as on the listener end.
Hey, I like that, because if we're encouraging other people to, because people put a lot of effort and time into these, and it's so nice to find that people are enjoying it. I mean, when Jim first told us that,
I know, I was nervous. I was like, my brother in law wants me to do this? Why would people listen to me? Seriously. Yeah. Why would they listen to us?
It's kind of,
But then, our Ragnarok and Roll is almost 2,000 plays, right?
Yeah.
So, and we're almost
we have a lot more.
We're over 400 for this one, So,
and speaking of which, I'd like to say thank you to the 149 listens in Arizona, the 22 listens in Oregon, the 22 listens in North Carolina, the 17 in California, the 9 in Utah, the 8 in Illinois, the 7 in Florida, the 7 in New Mexico. Then we've got 33 listens in Canada and 3 listens in Sweden.
Awesome.
So Sweden, thank you for being our farthest reaching person out there.
Yeah.
We're and, global.
Wow.
And for those other states I didn't mention, it's because you only had one listen, so start listening more.
Then we'll get the shout outs.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
who's turn to roll now?
It's my turn to roll. Kelly is
rolling. And, we have a couple out of
and
here.
For the record, I'm so playing with the idea of running another podcast. Email us any suggestions of anything you'd like to hear. It's still in the play though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'd really love to do an Edge Empire one.
Okay. Oh, we already did 12. Two. Music.
Yes.
Okay. The question is music while gaming? ? Obviously not for the podcast, but in general. Well, actually, for our
Kelly talking, by the way.
For our Cyan one, when we started it, we actually played with. We had
classical
my cell
music.
Phone playing like.
Flight of the Valkyries.
Pandora's Wagner channel.
Wagner.
Yeah.
So
We're Norse.
We're
Aesir.
Yeah. You know,
it's
Ragnarok. You know, all of our characters are from the Aesir.
But we've got some Orf in there. What's that?
Yeah. Well,
composers?
It's
oh,
the Pandora channel for Wagner has other artists and stuff.
Of the similar
bands.
Yeah.
So well, we actually tried to play. Wagner's CD, but for some reason the laptop wouldn't.
Technical errors, but that's beside the point.
So on my phone, we started playing the Pandora, and it's kind of neat because it kind of sets a little sound.
If you listen in the background, you can sort of
hear it.
And at one point, when the Flight of the Valkyries did come on, and was that during our first episode or something? I think when we were either way, it was like, oh, hey,
sometimes the music is nice because if it hits a perfect random song at the perfect random point. It kicks it up a notch.
Yeah. But on average, we actually usually have music playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't done it here, though.
Well, because this podcast is actually done at one of our local establishments, Tucson Games and Gadgets, fabulous place, where we actually check out the room. They have this wonderful gaming room. And so here we don't play music, but...
That doesn't mean we won't in the future.
Yeah.
And sometimes while recording, some music may get overlaid and things like that.
Exactly.
It's just we don't want to disturb anybody else that's out here playing and stuff.
Yeah,
so that
exactly.
way it's just
and
us.
You don't want to distract the listener as well. So.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At home, we do tend to have music playing for all of our podcasts. Like when we did Deadlands, we had like, you know, the spaghetti western music.
That was great.
We had, you know, so we try, and Jim will try and plan, you know, different
little
you
playlists.
Know.
And in past games, we actually tried doing characters having playlists, and you get a bonus
if
your random song comes
up. In fact, actually, that ties into what Jocelyn wrote. She says, I love music while gaming. I play with another group, and we often put together character-specific playlists, which we give to the GM.
Yeah.
So now I know with our Cyan character, we have given you like songs that that's our character.
That's your theme
but
songs.
We don't actually do anything with that yet.
Yeah.
But actually, it's kind of cool because then you can play your song and listen to it, and it kind of helps you get into your character's frame of mind, you know. Which ironically enough, one of Jim and I's favorite TV shows, well, The Walking Dead. Apparently, the actors actually do that.
If you ever get a chance to watch The Talking Dead, which is the talk show after The Walking Dead.
With Chris Hardwick?
Yeah, I don't think
Chris
so.
Hardwick does a fantastic job on it. And they actually do little sound bites showing you the actors' playlists to get pumped up between scenes.
Yeah,
which,
and they each have their own playlist, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, because it gets them in that frame of mind.
Yeah.
Which,
awesome.
Which, by the way, if you're writing up games, it's great to have music just randomly put something on. Like, I listen to, a lot of times when I'm working on the Ragnarok game, the Vikings, the TV show soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I thump that in the background while I'm writing stuff and inspiration, so that way it helps get me into that mindset of harsh, brutal, you know. But,
get in touch with the Aesir gods.
Yeah.
But the one thing I would say is, the important thing is, it's great having music set to help set the mood. Just don't let it detract from the actual game that's going on.
Good point. We always usually have it as a low volume. Or, I mean, there were games when we were doing the other Cyan ones and the Dresden one. I'm like, change. Get that song. I hate that song. Just do something, you know.
And the other side of that coin.
And as a wife, you get to do that.
and on the other side of that coin, sometimes they burst into songs and I apologize.
Yeah, well, that's just that. And that's just us,
sorry.
Gotta say.
Yeah, the Greek chorus.
as we've
been apparently dubbed. Yes. That, I mean,
it could happen again. You just never know.
It's like a Disney movie. You never know when they're going to burst into song.
Let it go. But we digress. When we digress again.
But yes, we will do. Definitely, if you get the opportunity, play music or even just eerie sound effects.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're doing D&D, one of the things I'd like to do is there's a couple different programs out there for eerie special effects and sound effects, and a ton of apps for your phones. Of just putting in like a dank cave sound. So a lot of times when you guys hear the actual podcast, I'll overlay different sound effects like the river babbling, the dank dripping in the background. Yeah.
We hadn't noticed that at all.
Or like when I played my first Star Wars one was at RingCon last year where I played.
That's the local gaming convention.
In a pickup game, I signed up for. I actually started playing some of the sound effects on my phones. Jabba. Because it was just like these are on my phone. I don't want to upgrade my OS on my phone just because I will lose this app. Seriously,
check to see whether the app's available.
This app is no longer available. And right, I'm like,
now that Disney has purchased it. But yeah, definitely try to get your characters into the right frame of mind, and music will always help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so who's got the next question?
I think Carrie's, I do. It's Carrie's turn. We have only a few out of character questions left. And we haven't done that one. Number one.
Numero uno. Primo.
First and foremost, I think all of us want to know who is editing your podcast, because whoever it is does a really amazing job and deserves credit. The podcast is crisp, the levels are good, and the occasional additional sound effects really enhance the feel of the story. So fess up. Who's responsible?
Take a bow, Jim.
I will have to say thank you for this question. It feeds my ego.
Actually, because the rest of us, when I listen to, I'm always impressed at how it's done. It doesn't detract from the story. It doesn't interfere.
It
enhances it. So I always notice this, but it's nice that other people are noticing it too.
And it was funny because the first time I was listening to the podcast, to try it out, and I heard the sound effects. I didn't even know he was going to be putting on there.
And like, you're married to him.
Yeah. And like when the gun goes off, I'm like, ah! But it was really cool, and he did such a good job. I was like,
she's referring to the Scion podcast,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
It was good playing that.
Yeah.
Not in this.
But it was because that's the first one I listened to that I didn't know that he was going to be doing it. So I was impressed. It was, it really enhanced it because we were there when we recorded it, but it's so much more interesting
when you hear the additional, like.
Exactly. It added to it. It enhanced it. So, kudos, my love, because it's a fantastic, you do an amazing job.
Yeah, I'm guilty being the man behind the editing. honestly, it really came out of, I use Obsidian Portal for a lot of my games, but the problem is a lot of times players can't get a chance to get to it, or a lot of times I'm really horrible about taking notes and remembering a week later what happens in my once a month game. So I was thinking with all the podcasts that I listen to and stuff, recording would be a really fun, great way for folks to go back and relive it. And honestly, let's be honest, if you're a gamer, you all have epic, amazing game stories that you can sit at the table and go, remember that one time when that thing happened? And
no just... shit, there I was.
and one nice thing is with recording it and posting it is you can go back and re-listen to it a year or two later and realize, where was my character back then? And
Oh, that's true. Or, I hadn't thought of that.
Or characters, people flake on you and don't show up for their gaming sessions. And I'm not
shameless.
Saying that. Just like, because then it's like, oh man, life interferes. It does.
Yeah,
it
we're
happens.
All busy people.
We've
got families, jobs, obligations.
Other outside interests, that type of thing. So it's going to happen. And, listening to the podcast, it's like, I can go to the last podcast. Oh, that's right. That's what we were doing. It totally refreshed my memory, and put me back on where we were. So it just made it that much easier to get back into character or remember what was going on, or go to my husband. See, I told you. You told me that.
And also, it works the other way, where it's like, Jim informed me, that's like, you don't have any legend left. I go, yes, I do. What are you talking about? And then I listened again, and I came back, and I was like, Jim, I'm sorry. You were right. I had no legend left. I heard it in the podcast. My bad.
Yeah, because it's like...
Because I'm like, I swear I had legend.
Of course, just remember, if you know, don't browbeat people on that. Just keep the game rolling and keeping the game fluid. So if snafus happen and, you know, memories are a little sketchy every now and then.
Yeah.
But honestly, what inspired me to do the podcast was in my Edge of Empire game, we only game once a month. And half of our group have lots of lives and lots of jobs and lots of other games that we play.
Yeah,
so we're all like,
they?
We all sit down at the table and for the first 5 minutes go, what did
happened?
We do last time?
It's like, what? Wait,
and
half hour will be our review session.
And if we don't take really good notes, we don't really know. So I figured the podcast is one of those of, I can put the podcast on the night before and it gets me right back to that place we left off at.
And how many of us take really, really good notes other than Gary? Gary is
awesome
amazing
at taking notes.
He takes the best notes.
But pretty much in response to the podcast, before I actually did the podcast, I did a lot, as those that are in the video game community call noob tubing. Spent lots of time on YouTube listening to other people, how they set up their deals, how they do other ones. And I listened to actually a few podcasts on how to make podcasts. Equipment-wise, I'm wanting to eventually upgrade to some better stuff. But currently, all I'm using is my 5G iPhone. And I've got a app called the iRig Recorder app, which basically lets you record in a really easy format to pull it off and edit later on. And it lets you adjust the volume automatically for voices. And then what I do is I just pull it off onto my computer onto a program called Audacity, which is like, if you Google Audacity, it's one of the best editing programs out there, and it's used for a lot of things. I'm actually looking into learning how to use it for Skype to see about Skype gaming as well.
Yeah, because we have a friend who moved to Wisconsin recently. We miss her horribly.
Jerry, we love you.
Jerry, we love you.
And Kent. Poor Kent.
Oh, that's
love
right.
The husband.
Love you too, Kent.
And
the boys.
But that would be great if we could.
And as for the special
and
effects,
gamers.
A lot of times I try to record stuff on my phone and then blend in special effects I make. Or I use a really great site, which is Free SFX. If you Google it, it comes right up. It's a British website where they let you post effects you've made, loan out effects you've made. As long as you give them credit, they're cool with you using it for free. So that's where I get a lot of these sound effects from.
And Jim puts a lot of... When he's storytelling or GMing or DMing, whichever nomenclature you would like to use for, you know, your games, he goes to so much effort to research everything. He researches how to do a podcast because he's like, I want to try this. And we're like, okay, let's try it. But just for the games in general, he will go to great lengths to research all sorts of things. And that way, he totally can just change things up on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
The same with the researching the podcast. He went a great deal of effort to find the most useful, easiest, and friendly. And I gotta admit, even it's an iPhone, it sounds really good. Even in our kitchen dining room,
Jim the GM building a better world.
And one of the best advices I've gotten from is, record quiet. When you go into Audacity, you can increase the volume of people talking to make it better, but without having background noise all being picked up and heard really loud. So if you record quiet, you can then increase, like in Audacity, I bring up all our talking up 7 decibels, and then I bring the background noise down, and I add all background noise is dropped like 20 decibels quieter than we're talking, or when it's being recorded, I should say.
Oh,
so just if you want to learn to do it, Google and YouTube. There's an amazing amount of stuff on YouTube to learn different things, and by all means, learn.
Yeah, and also seating. Like after our very first Cyan podcast, and my sister and I, as you can tell, we're loud talkers.
Whatever gave you that idea?
It's like, but like her son, Trevor, is really,
he
speaks
can be quite,
really softly
yeah.
because he gets shy. You know, he's like, he's not as comfortable gaming
right.
with, you know, he's, you know, still finding his voice, literally.
Yeah.
You know, so he's young. So it's like we actually literally had to change our seating the after the first episode, after we listened to it, to try and shift the quieter people closer to where the microphone was, because that way it just helped. And so paying attention to that type of thing, Jim was like, okay, this is what we need to do. You're going to switch places there, and and I couldn't sit next to my husband. But I understand. I understand. And it helps. It really does. So placement is key.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean that's
so we're fine tuning the placement.
That's actually one I was going to bring up today, is the placement of the microphone. Try to get it a little closer to head level. So put like normally we keep it on books or something there. Today, something I was actually going to try to do was to get Xander and Gary to switch seats to get Gary a little closer to the microphone because he's a little distant sounding. So I was going to try that. So it's one of those things of just try things, you know, play with it, see what works best for you guys.
So you can get the nuances of his
role. It's the D&D chairs.
And like I said, this isn't our first podcast; it's the second one, and
we're still learning.
Our first one's only been out for like a month and a half since we started recording it.
Yeah,
so it's
almost 2,000
plays. We've gotten this good apparently in less than a month, you know?
Yeah, we've got to toot our own horn.
See, like I said, the ego is getting inflated.
It's because my husband is an evil genius. We're just glad he's on our side.
Okay.
Okay, I think we have two questions
so
left.
No, I think we have three.
We have three so far.
We have three questions
on the.
Yep, we have 7, 10, 11. I'll go ahead and start with, because I'm next, so I'll go with 7.
Okay.
Do you get much inspiration from the order of the stick? I mean, your halflings are completely different, but the salty elf strikes me in an incredibly more cool Varsuvius. By the way, for those at home that don't know, Google Order of the Stick. It's an amazingly funny satire on D&D.
It's hilarious.
One of their first episodes is the psycho halfling ranger loses his scimitars because in 3.5 halflings can't use weapons like scimitars, that he gets dropped down to daggers. I've even gotten my nephew hooked on this series.
He has the graphic books, several of them. He doesn't have all of them, but he adores them. But other than that, that's how I'm familiar with it. This is the fact that my son and I have read the ones that we've gotten him, and they're hilarious. They're brilliant.
Ironically enough, even though I have purchased them for my nephew, I have never read Order of the Stick.
And even though
that's why the halfling apparently is nothing like the book, because I have no clue. My halfling Tilda is based more off of Tasselhoff Burfoot or the Kender from the Dragonlance kind of thing, you know, it's like more of a happy-go-lucky kind of, you know,
sprightly,
yes, is like with ideas of property ownership a little looser than
than
most.
Like one would expect.
Along the Kinder angle.
Kinder is children.
Yeah. Even
Kinder.
Though the Order of the Stick is literally, it's stick figures. Okay,
yeah,
the drawings are stick figures. It's still...
It's the writing.
It's the writing. It's just brilliant. It really is. So.
Honestly, the best way I can paraphrase it is... It's been written by a burnt-out GM after an RPG group drove him mad. Because some of the things that they go in there, the warrior who's the leader of the group has a high intel and is driven insane by the group. The bard, he basically is the Gilligan of the crew, always getting them into trouble.
And doesn't the bard have a twin brother?
The bard has a twin brother.
An evil twin?
Spoiler alert.
Hey,
an evil twin that appears later in the series who's like a badass.
Okay, well,
the complete
opposite.
And just for our listeners, Kelly is the evil twin.
I will 100% wholly admit I am the evil twin.
I guess
and
that
the,
makes me the good twin.
The rogue, she is selfish and out for herself.
Yeah.
And the dwarf... cleric, which is funny because they have a dwarf cleric, we have a dwarf cleric, is sullen and quiet and doesn't really know why he's with them.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a really fantastic series and worth the time you'll waste on it online.
Look it up.
Look it up. Okay. Well, then I'm next, so I'm going to do the second to last question. Number 10. In older D&D, I think it was Pathfinder or / 3.5, whatever, rangers had a chosen quarry that they would get bonus if fighting. Is that back?
Okay, pretty much since I'm the only one who's really chewed through the player's handbook now.
And we thank you for that.
I can tell you, player's handbook, get it, buy it, you'll love it. Honestly, in that book, it now has the most classes and the most races ever released in one book. You don't have to buy player's handbook 1, 2, 3. Almost all of them are all in one book.
So do they have
they
a quarry?
Do actually
quarry?
Have
I was just reading about this actually. There is a
they
favorite.
Do actually have on page 91 what they call the favorite enemy.
That's the favorite enemy.
You basically, every couple levels, like I believe it's every five levels, you get a new one. And it adds to it. What it does is it doesn't give you an advantage to attack, because basically in 3.5 Pathfinder, I think it was +2 to attack your favorite target. In this version, anytime you use a skill to track, to know their weaknesses, anything along those lines, your favorite enemy, you get advantage, which means you're rolling 2d20 on your skill, and you're getting the better of the two rolls because you know this sucker. This is your bread and butter. So it'll make it easier for you to track your enemies, to know their weaknesses, to know what their habits would be, you know. So basically, the player now has a mechanic to say, yes, this is my target. I go after this, you know.
Yeah, because I remember way back when, actually, I had a ranger who, in her backstory, she was a half-elf, but her father, who is the human half, he was a ranger, and he was killed by goblins. So her favorite quarry was goblins.
Yeah, who doesn't mind killing goblins?
Yeah, slug. Really? Oh, I'm sorry.
What, the only good goblin's a dead goblin? No, Splug is lovely. Or as Lady Corwin would say, he's lovely. No, I'm not doing that right. Well, sorry, Jocelyn.
It's her pet.
Does Jocelyn have anything to
say? Does Jocelyn have a comment regarding the...
check.
No, I mean, I think that was just more of a generic game mechanic question, so she might not have... I don't think she's written. Okay.
That's basically it.
Yeah. No, there's one more question.
Yeah, well, number 11.
Number 11.
Okay, well, so far, what do you like about the new system? Well, we've kind of maybe answered this already, but we like the advantage.
We've covered it in parts.
Yes, and it encourages role-playing. Like that. I like that it does encourage role-playing.
I'm a huge fan of the fact that it basically... it'll pull shy people out to role-play, because if you're shy or you're new at the game... You look, and by the way, the starter set has fantastic and pre-rolled characters in it. The characters really are great.
Yeah.
And
hit dice are back.
Yeah, hit dice are back, so it's a smoother healing system now.
And just as a side note, the actual starter set in this one actually gives you nice dice, as opposed to, I remember back in the old days, the red box, you got the cruddiest. It was like
red box, like red box ninja.
Yeah. But I mean, they were like sharp and pointy and like just the cheapest possible plastic, and there was no rough
edges. That's because we're dice snobs.
Yes, for the record, I've got two sets of the starter set dice. They are identically both the same great quality.
And they're pretty. They're like a marbleized blue.
And the numbers are really easy to see. It's bright white numbers on nice dark marbleized blue dice.
Yes, unlike
they're really good quality. I have no problems with any of the dice having, you know, paint not filled in numbers or anything along those lines.
Yes.
Zero defects.
Yes.
So they did spend some...
No, that was just your box.
No, there's two to choose.
Because I'm sorry, dice is important. You know me, I love dice. I like, you know, having... Got my pretty
lots of dice.
I've got the fate dice. I've got the scion. You know, the 10-sided sets.
Several 10-sided sets.
You know, although I'm still gonna be picking up the Star Wars dice. Because I'm about to start playing
steampunk dice.
Yes. Oh yes, I have steampunk dice.
Well, that was perfect for Deadlands.
Yeah, actually, it was.
Also, I think we kind of glazed over this one, but there was a question of the microphone. How do you think the microphone affects our gaming? I think we kind of covered that.
We kind of mentioned it all.
Yeah.
We forget it's there, really.
Yeah.
I know some of us ham it up for the microphone and talk to the crowd.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it doesn't really...
We've only done that on this podcast.
Yeah, on Ragnarok and Roll, we completely ignore it.
It's just not part of the table.
It's not an issue.
My phone was always on the table anyways. Yeah. It's not
but
noticeable.
But see, here at home, we have a table that seats, 10?
Yeah, I think so.
8 to 10. Here, we're on a much smaller table, so you can actually see it more, you know. It's a bit more so.
Oh, like we're paying attention.
Yeah, but...
And like, I'm looking at the map.
One thing, honestly...
Just not reading it correctly, yeah.
One thing, honestly, that it does make me do now, which I'm actually glad of because it's a personal trait of mine, is it's making me more aware of not talking over other folks, because I have a bad personal habit.
Oh, you have a bad personal habit. Ladies, just ask. I always do that, and I apologize in advance.
We both apologize.
I'm sorry. But see, we play off of each other.
And Karen, I do have a tendency sometimes to say things in stereo.
Yes, literally in stereo. Like, yes. Say the same thing at the same time.
Yeah. And also, so basically for editing purposes, I try to, especially when doing voices, make sure I'm doing just the voice at one time so that way I can go back later and change. I can use Audacity to touch up the sound effect on it and make it a little crisper or darker, or make Gundren a little more Gundren. You know, type of thing.
Don't overdo the Gundren. You know, it's like save it for later.
No, Gundren rocks.
Gundren rocks.
Like Rock Seeker.
Or Stone Cutter.
So bad. That was a bad point. Hey! I mean, the Simpsons are stuck in my head.
Yeah, one dwarf looks just like another, right?
Well, maybe.
And also, another one is, I had a thought, and I think I lost the thought, so we'll just keep rolling.
Roll with it. Roll a D6, roll a D6, na 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 na.
Okay, now that they did that, I remember. Another thing is to also make sure when I'm GMing to preface more of the environment, to describe it for people that aren't here to see what I've written on a map or any maps I've made up, and also to use audio clues for folks that are home. So that way, you know, on a map, I've got this great map showing you what we're doing, or on I can usually use a dry erase board to just do a quick 5-second map on there to show people of you're in a parking lot, this is here, what are you doing? So now I'm finding myself describing more, which is actually helping the GMing of putting it out there more in a descriptive kind of way.
Speaking as a player, though.
And I think a dragon is eating a small child in the distance.
I think in the next room, the birthday party is... maybe if... Because Jocelyn's actually at the birthday party, maybe we'll hear the infamous titter. I don't know.
But speaking as a player, though, actually, your descriptions help so much to help... pull us into the world.
Building a better world, yes.
Yeah, and the fact that and when you play the other characters.
The NPCs,
stuff,
yeah.
Yeah, we can feed off of that.
Like
so
Slug.
Yeah.
Like one thing the player do say when I do like Slug, I do T-Rex arms. I put my hands all tiny. So I'm like a small little goblin that can't reach things.
And he looks up, even though we're all like shorter than him. And he looks up and he scrunches down.
He's literally acting.
I'm pantomiming out what they're doing a lot of times. Yeah. I use my arms a lot. And sometimes I'll get up and stand up to give the impressions. And you know.
We actually use props sometimes.
Yeah, we do
like,
use props.
In the Deadlands game, I would totally have a fascinator on. I'd have my little magnifying glass out.
Or your little derringer.
Or my little derringer, because my character had, you know, those types of things.
Or remember when we did our Scion game, we pulled out the broom so we could do the staff thing.
The staff move.
Uh-huh, and I almost hit Carrie in the face.
Yes, you almost hit me in the face. But that's okay.
Please practice proper safety.
Yes.
But
please be aware of your surroundings.
In the Deadlands game, I was a Native American shaman. And
yes,
I played
awesome.
Shirtless a few times, even with a leather tie holding my hair back.
That's not true.
I think we're exaggerating a little there.
So pretty much at this point, we've covered the question. So let's put up the fourth wall. And let's go ahead and answer your individual in-character questions.
Oh, dear God.
Summon the Tilda. Hi, I'm Tilda.
Mask on.
Hi, I'm Tilda.
I'm Galen, the Gallant.
Hi, I'm Tilda.
And it appears we are missing half our party.
It's like...
That's why they haven't rescued me. They split the party again.
Don't you know you never split the party?
Okay.
Sorry, we digress again.
So I was asked, as storyteller for The Lost Mines, does it mean that, you know, I call myself the storyteller, does it mean at some point I'll be able to play, and are there any, will there be a different storyteller? At the moment, I don't see for the foreseeable future anyone else running the game. I am usually open to, if somebody wants to try, I am A-okay sidekicking a GM job, but usually I get picked as the GM of choice by everybody.
Because you're awesome.
It's because I multitask.
Of course, and Gary's biased, but Gary's awesome too, yeah.
Gary is also a great GM.
Yeah, and Jocelyn's GM'd.
Yeah, and Jocelyn's also GM'd some great ones.
I am not a GM, so I will not be. But, you know, and besides, you are playing. You're the best NPCs ever. Go Splug.
Okay, so first we're going to go to Tilda.
All right, my question is, I have many diverse pet names or even nicknames, and apparently he's curious as to how I got them. Well, let me tell you. Okay, I'm a halfling, okay? And as you know, halflings are actually pretty fond of nicknames. So not only do we normally have a name, but we also have our surname, you know, our family name.
Pseudonyms or aliases.
Okay, but we often tend to have nicknames, which technically really become, they eventually become surnames if they're used enough. Well, my name happens to be Tilda Wimblewick. However, when I was young, I had a certain propensity and great talent for taking things that weren't necessarily mine. Well, I was very good at it, quite nimble, in fact. So my last name, Wimblewick, became Nimblewick, as in deftly taking. So now that was only in my youth. I had, you know, I grew out of that.
Yeah, we believe that.
Well, anyways, when I was older, I did sort of take up with a group of ne'er-do-wells, and I didn't want to give them my real name, because heaven forbid this should ever get back to my dear sweet aunt. So I didn't want to give them my real name. I gave them a fake name. I gave them the name Penwee Pinchbiggle. And those black-hearted knaves took the name Penwee and turned it into Pee-wee, not only to, you know, because due to my, although I don't think very diminutive, but
try
my
minutia.
Hey, Lilliputian,
yes.
You know, size, so that they started calling not only, you know, because of my size, but also to annoy me. And they, trust me, they will rue the day, not only for making fun of my name, but for other things. But that's how I got my names.
Okay. All right. The question that Galen has received is, you are clearly a folk hero by mien and manner. As such, are there many songs about you floating around at the various taverns and inns? Would you share one with us? Well, I will not share one with you, but we do have a bard present. I would like to introduce you to Miss Wimblewick's bardic cousin, Tilda.
No. Hi, I'm Twyla Fairlady.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm Tilda's cousin. I'm a bard. So yes, I may sound a lot like her. We kind of grew up together. But yeah, Twyla Fairlady. Remember
that's it. Twyla Fairlady.
The great, the wonderful, the musical,
the most humble as well.
Yes. Okay, speaking of humble.
Hey, I didn't write the song. It's just about me and my, you know, not my destiny.
It's like,
but
I have heard this ballad before, so I will retell the ballad of Galen the Gallant. Okay.
It's Galen.
Okay. Hearken unto me, my friends, for a tale of gallantry. One woman stood against the odds to strike down tyranny. Never winter's docks knew fear from lash and villainy until Galen took up her arms to end the foul cruelty. Between victim and the lash she stood in defiant dignity. No more shall we suffer you, nor will we bend a knee. And with his own nine-tailed cat, Galen struck him forcefully. No crewman came to his aid, for he earned no loyalty. Those who saw the worthy act gave forth cries of revelry, for within their midst they knew stood a woman of destiny. Now for all the world to see, Galen the Gallant, she will forever be.
Well, thank you, fair bard.
What, no class? Come on. Thank you. Thank you kindly.
Here's a copper.
A copper?
I'm broke.
Yeah, whatever. I know you got 5 from the last adventure. Tilda told me.
Yeah, so I need all I can get. You know, I have a destiny, you know. Those don't come cheap. So there was an additional question, and it was, As a person of destiny, do you ever have leisure time? Well, when I do have leisure time, I really am, you know, I'm fletching my arrows and thinking of my dear sweet home.
Stiffing the bard.
That, what was the name of it? Hold on. I can't remember the name. It's Thunder Tree. And
it's a very small place.
Sadly, it's no more. It was destroyed. But one day I shall return.
It's forgotten?
One day I shall return. And when I do, I shall restore Thunder Tree to its former glory. And one day, in my leisure time, I'm imagining what the statue will look like.
It's going to have a really big head.
No, I believe that's Lady Corlin, but... No, I suppose that's me, too.
Well, Gundren.
Okay, go ahead, Gundren, because I'm like, we're out of characters.
Gundren here. Towards the end of the second installment of your story, you lament that the party was taking so long to find you. How much hope did you lose after discovering how challenging it was for them to find a simple book? Now, I think you're referring to the magic little elf who twiddles his fingers losing his book. And that was a little disappointment, but I have hope that they'll find me sometime. And hopefully that elf found his book okay, didn't get any water stains on the book, because everyone will tell you water stains just don't wash out. So, I'd like to thank you for your questions, and please, in the future, we'll be doing more Q&A.
We have Jocelyn's, but we don't have Lady Corlin herself.
If you have any questions, please send them in, and we'll try to do our best to get them answered for you from time to time. And don't worry, this is only part one of a two-part Q&A. So remember, be safe. There be dragons about.
And this has been another edition of D&D Journey of the 5th Edition. Thank you for listening, and be careful. I've heard there's dragons about.